Well, good morning, and welcome to week three of Hopewell Scattered at-home worship. It's not getting any easier, but I appreciate you hanging in there and joining us on Sunday mornings. Evidence indicates you are joining and you are tuning in, so thank you. And I look forward to you being here in your right places. In my mind, you're there. I envision you sitting in your respective pews, and I look forward to that day. Couple of announcements I just want to run over real quick. Session has been meeting and been in communication. And the truth is, we don't know when we're going to be able to meet in this place together again. We will, but according to the governor, it probably won't be this month. Now, we're keeping an eye on things, and we'll make prayerful consideration and judgment, and we'll let you know as soon as something changes. But for now, this is how we're going to worship, and so we got to make the best of it. Also, just to give you an update on some of the ways that the church has been serving, we've been hard at work, and we've been able to be very generous because of your generosity to the mission of Hopewell. And so I'm going to ask that you keep it up. We got bills to pay, and we've been able to pay them, but we also have people to serve. And we've been able to serve remarkably well because of your generosity. Couple of ways that's happening is we've been able to provide meals to the COVID-19 response unit there at Johnson Memorial Hospital. When they go on, when they start their shift, they can't leave. They're confined to a specific area, and that means no cafeteria. And so what we're doing on Hopewell is on Tuesdays and Saturdays, delivering meals, lunch, and then also for night shift to the staff. And they've been so appreciative. We're purchasing those meals from local restaurants so that we can help sustain them during these lean times. And they've been awfully grateful. And so we're going to keep doing that as long as we can, as long as we have to. And it's your generosity that makes that possible. So keep being generous. Another project that Hopewell has been involved with is called Together for Johnson County. I don't know if you can see that. But it is a collaboration between Johnson County churches, the city government of Franklin and Whiteland, and the Franklin Community School Corporation and Johnson County Senior Services. It is an attempt to coordinate an effort to respond to some of our most vulnerable citizens in this time. And so I'm going to be sending you some information out about that. There's going to be three ways you can participate: financially, volunteering at the distribution center, or also bringing food. And the dollars and the food donation will flow for us through Hopewell. And so more information about that, but just know that's coming. Lastly, the food and dollars that you've donated have also enabled me to respond to specific needs of individuals who call the church and who need help buying groceries or who need food. And I've been able to go down to the pie room, which is now sadly not the pie room. It is a food pantry. But I've been able to go down there and respond to needs to individuals. And that has been much appreciated. So keep up the generosity, and I will keep you posted on opportunities to serve. And I need you to be eyes and ears for neighbors in need so that we can respond. So enough about that, but thanks for all that you've given and done so far. Okay, on with worship. So as we do every week, take a deep breath. Let go of the anxieties of the past week and our fears and worries about what tomorrow holds. We have one task in these next 25 minutes or so. And that task is to worship. So silence your phones, cut off the other TV, take a deep breath, and prepare your heart for worship. Thank you.
morning. Would you pray with me, please? Loving Father, as we journey with your Son in this week of remembrance and hope, help us to understand you and your love for the world more clearly. Transform us by the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and prepare us for service in your kingdom. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you will, please join me in the responsive call to worship, which you will find printed in your worship guide. As we are called into worship today, it is sobering to remember that when God appeared on earth in the person of Jesus, most of the world did not recognize him and therefore did not worship him. Today we ask for faith that will open our eyes to see Jesus for who he is, that we might worship him in truth. People of God, behold and see your God. We open our eyes to see his glory. We open our ears to hear his wisdom. We open our hands to offer him gifts. We open our mouths to sing his praise. We open our hearts to offer him our love. He is Lord.
Our opening hymn this morning, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor." So get your home worship sheets out, stand up, sing loud, sing proud. People who greeted Jesus as he entered Jerusalem and then later pronounced, "Crucify him." We are fickle people who often deny Christ in our thoughts and words and deeds. Remembering the events of Jesus' last week help us to see ourselves for what we are: sinners in need of a Savior. A Savior, praise God, we have in Christ. In honesty and hope, we confess our sins before God. O Lord, on who this day entered the rebellious city that later rejected you, we confess that our wills are as rebellious as Jerusalem's, that our faith is often more show than substance, that our hearts are in need of cleansing. Have mercy on us, Son of David, Savior of our lives. Help us to lay at your feet all that we have and all that we are, trusting you to forgive what is sinful, to heal what is broken, to welcome our praises, and to receive us as your own. Amen. Hear the words of Psalm 118. Let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I call to the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. In Christ, God answers us and sets us free. In Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Friends, hear the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Please join me as we bring our cares, our fears, our hopes and our dreams and our aspirations before our Father in heaven. Almighty God, you are holy. O God of majesty and blessed in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. As one of us, he knew our joys and sorrows and our struggles with temptation. He was like us in every way except sin. In him we see what you created us to be. Though blameless, he suffered willingly for our sin. Though innocent, he accepted death for the guilty. On the cross, he offered himself a perfect sacrifice for the life of the world. By his suffering and death, he freed us from sin and death. Risen from the grave, he leads us to the joy of new life. Lead us, O God, in the way of Christ. Give us courage to take up our cross and in full reliance upon your grace to follow him. Help us to love you above all else, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, demonstrating that love in deed and word by the power of the Spirit. Give us strength to serve you faithfully until the promised day of resurrection, when, with the redeemed of all ages, we will feast with you at your table in glory. Our Father, hear the prayer as we pray together the prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our New Testament reading this morning is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word, and may you all stay safe in these troubled times.
The text for our sermon this morning is Ruth 1, 19 to 21. Before we begin, let's pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the mighty, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, that by the power of your Holy Spirit we may receive grace to show Christ's love in the lives given to your service. Amen. Ruth 1, 19 to 21. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" You remember back in September of 2018, we began working through the book of Ruth. That turned out to be a really good thing for me personally. 2018, the latter part, was pretty tough. In the span of about 90 days, dear friend Diane passed away from a long battle with cancer. An uncle and good friend tragically died from suicide. And then very unexpectedly, one of my very best friends, Diane's husband, Bill, died unexpectedly of a heart attack, perhaps a broken heart. It caused me to go back to Ruth and view the book with fresh eyes, to see the beauty in Naomi's lament. I found it so helpful that actually this verse served as the basis for Bill's homily. Later, first part of 2019, it stood as the basis for Nyla's as well. I have found comfort reading through my notes on the text over the last few weeks, so I thought I would share it again with you. Now, I wonder if you'll remember back when I preached on this text here at Hopewell, I began with a question. Have you ever cried out like the psalmist? How long, O Lord? How long must I wait? Will you forget me forever? How long will you turn your face from me? When will you act? How long must I struggle? Answer me, God. Now, back September 2018, I don't remember how many of you said yes. I've cried out like that. I'd venture to guess in the last few weeks, most of you have. Most of you have, or at least your soul has. Perhaps you didn't have the guts to actually utter the words to God. Many of us are brought up to think you shouldn't talk to God like that. That's a shame, because the Bible is actually full of people talking to God precisely like that. So, recap on the book of Ruth. Ruth gets top billing. And certainly she's a central character in the book that bears her name, but the book is about Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law. It is a story about Naomi's lament and God's faithfulness. John Piper says, it's a story for people who wonder where God is when one tragedy after another attacks their faith. A story for anyone who is yearning for God to act, and they wonder if He really cares. It's an instructive story for the way that we feel right now. But not only does it speak to our feelings in this moment, if we pay attention, it's a story that demonstrates how God is at work in the ordinary day-to-day struggles and joys of our lives. The muck and the yuck. He is there working for His glory and our good. As a reminder, the book of Ruth takes place in the period of Judges. In summary, it is a terrible time to be alive. The refrain is, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Now, that might sound like fun, but it was not fun. It was not good. It was anarchy. Pagan practices of child sacrifice and only the strong survive, survival of the fittest. And God's chosen people, well, they were indistinguishable from their pagan neighbors. In the book of Ruth, Naomi is forced to leave her home in Bethlehem. Forced to travel to Moab, Israel's enemy. They're on the move because God in His judgment has sent famine to Bethlehem. In the very first few verses, her husband dies. Then her two boys, they marry pagan women. Then the boys die, leaving Naomi with two pagan daughters-in-law, one of which leaves. The other, Ruth, won't leave despite Naomi's pleading. At this point, it seems as though that Ruth is more of a liability than an asset. A famine. Move to Moab, death of her husband, death of her children. Blow after blow, tragedy upon tragedy, tragedy. It is an unusual catalog of sorrows for one woman to endure. Naomi has two choices. She can turn and flee from God, or she can turn to Him. As her friends greet her at the city gate and welcome Naomi, you'll remember her name means beautiful, pleasant. Her response is the text we read. In essence, don't call me Naomi. Call me bitter. Because God has dealt bitterly with me. Don't call me Naomi. Tough words. But Naomi gets an awful lot right here. A lot right in her lament. As she levels her accusations against God, she is saying that God exists, that he is in control, that he is sovereign and he is exercising his divine providence, whether she likes it or not. Naomi's situation may be dire, but she's sure about three things. God exists, he is sovereign, and he has afflicted her. She doesn't try to sugarcoat it. She doesn't try to explain it away. It's an indictment about what God has done. They are raw words, but they are truthful words. She acknowledges that he is in control of all things, that everything is ultimately from him. It is a profoundly God-centered, God-honoring theology. But it feels like disrespect. But it's not. Underlying her lament is a deep trust and understanding of God. She is not resentful of God. She does not say, "I am bitter." She said, "God has dealt bitterly with me." She has not turned away from him. Quite the opposite. She's coming right at him, moving towards God with honesty, acknowledging even that he has brought her back, albeit empty-handed, but back to Bethlehem, to the people of God. And God patiently hears Naomi's lament. He quietly listens. And though he remains silent, signs abound that he is at work. He has put Ruth in her life. He's lifted the famine, brought her back home to a place where she is known. Even though there are signs of his provision all around, Naomi needs time to work through her grief. And God is patient with her, even as Naomi speaks frankly and honestly about her disappointment with God. As she does, no one condemns her. Not the narrator, not the characters, and not God. As the book unfolds, we see that God does hear Naomi's lament, and he has responded in ways beyond her wildest imagination. He gave her Ruth, and Ruth turned out to be anything but a liability. Providentially, Ruth meets Boaz, their kinsman redeemer. Ruth marries Boaz. They have a child, a son, Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David, who was in the line of Christ. And God gave Naomi the thing her heart needed most. He gave her himself. And God was doing all of those things in the midst of worldwide anarchy on a macro level and deep tragedy and grief on a personal level. But when Naomi utters those words of lament, it's early in the story. Naomi can't see those things yet. And so she moves forward in faith with lament. Jesus promised us, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." You are given permission to lament. You're encouraged, actually, to lament. And in fact, if you haven't cried out to God in the last few weeks, then who are you crying out to? And if you've not cried out, then you aren't paying attention. You aren't looking around. You aren't being honest about the situation. I'm not saying sit around and mope. Count all your woe is me's. I'm just saying, be honest about how you feel and present that to the only one who can do anything about it. As you lament, though, remember the biblical pattern. It is not negative, negative, negative. Only sorrow, sorrow, and fear. Now the pattern is negative to positive. Sorrow to joy, fear to trust. A lament is a prayer of faith. It does not dishonor God when you cry out to Him. It acknowledges that things aren't the way they're supposed to be. A lament is a prayer of faith, not unbelief and doubt. It recognizes that God is sovereign and testifies to your belief in His providential care. We know this is true because it was modeled by Jesus. You think about that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. A prayer so full of lament, He is sweating blood. Father, if there's any other way, then let this cup pass. In other words, I don't want to experience this pain. I don't want to drink this cup. But I submit to your will. And I trust you in life or death. And in a staggering display of obedience and trust, he goes to the cross. He drinks every drop of the cup. What this means is that any thought that God is distant and unacquainted with our pain and struggles, well, it simply isn't true. We know that He hears our cries and that He understands. On the cross, Jesus demonstrated that not only is our God a God of the sufferer, He is a God who suffers. He suffered so that our suffering could ultimately be brought to an end. He cared that much. That is what is revealed in Jesus in a way that is revealed nowhere else. The book of Ruth ends with a genealogy. Genealogy of King David. A pointer of what was to come. See, in those days there was no king, but the genealogy was saying one is coming. And it was in the midst of Naomi's despair that God was working that plan out to completion. Now, the really good news is that the king did in fact come. His life, his death and resurrection have opened the doors of heaven to all who believe. You see, Naomi moved forward in faith based on a belief that God would act. This side of the cross where you and I stand, we move forward knowing that God has acted. Listen, the Apostle Paul unpacks that just a little bit about what that means. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our sufferings produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into the hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given for us. For while we were still weak, just at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Friends, you have access to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who happens to be your Father in heaven. You have access to him 24/7. So come to him. Not with some feeble, weak, need, little petition. Rend your heart to him. Cry out to him for action. Tell him how you feel. Your fears, your anger, your frustrations, your hopes. Just be honest. Be real. He already knows. As you lament, and as you cry out, though, use the biblical pattern. Remember what he's done. He has proven himself worthy of our trust. He has proven himself worthy of our patience. He has proven himself worthy of our praise. So turn to your Father. He will hear your cry. And through his Spirit, he will comfort you. Amen. Our affirmation of faith is the same as last week. We would all do well to commit this one to memory. So will you join me? And I'm going to try to read slower this time. Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 1. What is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. Amen. Will you pray with me? Good and gracious God, how marvelous it is to know that you hear our cries, and that you long to comfort us. Press deep within our hearts knowledge and understanding that you are sovereign in all these things, and that you are working things out for your glory, and that is for our good. Give us eyes to see our neighbors in need. Move us with compassion to act. May the church bear witness to the power of Christ during these times. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Deuteronomy 31:6. It is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Would you join me in singing our closing hymn, Abide With Me? You should have the words printed there in your worship guide.
Lord, with me abide. When others
Well, it was a delight worshiping with you. Again, I look forward to worshiping with you in person in this place. I miss you all. Look forward to talking with you throughout the week. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in his peace. Amen. So Friday afternoon, I got this brilliant idea. Ordinarily on Palm Sunday, we have kids with palm branches. Sadly, we had no palm branches, and I don't have any kids here, but I did have a camera. And so I showed up in the front yard of a few folks, really without warning, and did our best to get the kids to shout Hosanna, which turned out to be a little harder than I anticipated, and so we were able to get Hey Hopewell out of most of them, and that'll have to do. So I'm a terrible cameraman, a little shaky, don't focus it right, but here's some smiling faces that made my day. I hope it'll make yours too.
Hey, Hopewell.
Hey, Hopewell.
Hi, Hopewell.